Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. If you love the Lord tonight, why don't you give my hand clap of praise across this house. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I love the Lord. I love Him with all my heart. I love Him, but I want to love Him more. I serve Him, but I want to serve Him better. And I really mean that. I've not arrived. I don't have a been there, done that, bought the t-shirt mentality. I'm a pilgrim on my journey just like you. But I want God to deal with me, and I want Him to refine me and to help me, that I could be a servant, that I would truly please my master. I don't know about you, and I believe I can say this alongside you. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I love Him. Praise the Lord. Do pray for us in our endeavors. We thank the Lord. I appreciate this little small insert here. Of course, we just got back from the Dominican Friday night. But Lord willing, next month, I'll find myself in Szczecin, Poland. That's on the northern tip of that nation of Poland. I'll fly in to Berlin, and they'll come pick us up. And Brother Harvey Moore and myself will be able to just to spend 1 week with the pastors there in that nation. Lord willing, we'll be able to bring in other preachers from Ukraine. Perhaps even some of the Germans will join us again this year. And in that 1 week, I just want to set that time aside just to be holy unto the Lord. We'll begin our day at 6 o'clock in the morning with prayer. We'll have breakfast. We'll come back from 9 to 1. We'll have teaching sessions. I believe in preaching. I also believe in teaching. Hope that's legal. I believe it is here. Amen. Amen. We'll break for lunch, then come back at 2:30, have afternoon service and session there. Break again, give a little bit of time in the afternoon, let them get a little bit of rest, whatnot. And then have supper, then service again at 7:30 at night. Now, of course, well, I'll probably get finished preaching, you know, the service will conclude 9:30. And I'll go back to my little room, and I'll try to get some rest to get up early the next morning and prepare and start my day. But I can assure you they'll stay in that tabernacle, and they'll continue to pray and seek God. I don't ever remember... And I was able to be there not last year, but the year before that. I don't ever remember a night where I left where those ministers weren't still in that tabernacle praying and seeking God. Europe needs a move of God. You know, we call Africa the dark continent. No, friend, Europe, that's the dark continent. You know, and please don't take me wrong when I say this, okay? But sometimes we really simplify missions and we need the humanitarian side, but we can't lean on the humanitarian side. We can come in, we say, okay, we'll get you a well, and we'll get you fresh water, and that's wonderful. And then we can use that, and we can talk to people about Jesus and thank the Lord for that. But what about when you go into a nation like Germany that is financially secure, and they look at you and they say, we don't need your well, and we don't need your God. What do you do then? Friend, we need the Lord to come down and move by power and by His might. We need God to break those strongholds and some of that leftover communistic mentality that still finds itself there in Poland, and the stronghold of Catholicism where it's so interwoven into their cultures. To be Catholic is to be Polish. To be Polish is to be Catholic. Literally, one of the Croatian brothers told me that when he had told his own father, he said, Dad, he said, I'm born again. He said, I'm a Pentecostal believer. But the moment his father looked back at him and he said, you change your last name, you're no longer my son. Friend, there's a price to be paid if you're going to follow Christ. And so I want you just to pray with me and pray for me that the Lord would keep the needs met, and that God would just open the door, and that the Lord would be able to get us in there and be able to pour in to those preachers in that 1 week that we have, that they can go back out. You know my philosophy. I've said this threadbare times. If we can grow a preacher, we will grow his church. Thank you for just giving me a moment of your time to be able to share that with you. And please keep that in your prayers. If you have your Bibles tonight, I know that you do. Please turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 16. Verse number 10. Luke chapter 16, verse number 10. Somebody said the other night... Brother Zane, I think you stepped on my toes. I can assure you I was aiming for your heart. Luke chapter 16, verse number 10. When you get there, would you say amen? God's word, it reads like this. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Verse 10, one more time. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So let me take a few moments here tonight. Let me just share with you what I believe the Lord's put on my heart. I want to speak to us tonight on this thought. It's the small things. It's the small things. Father, I thank you. I bless you. I thank you, Lord, for the glorious, magnanimous opportunity to simply speak your word. And I pray in Jesus' name tonight, let me not speak about you, O Lord, but let me speak for you. Come by and anoint your servant. God, I pray for fresh oil. Take that live coal from off the altar and place it upon my lips of clay. I pray, God, let it flow out of my heart and deal with our hearts tonight that we might be pleasing unto God. Lord, direct our soul that we might do thy will. And for this we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. If you're close enough to somebody, shake their hand and tell them, I'm glad to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. It may even be your own wife. Wow, look at that. Praise God. Been a long time, hadn't it? Just... Amen. The year was 1959. Millions of copies were sold. Mr. David Schwartz was his name. He became a household name at that time. He directed a culture into something they hadn't thought about before in his best-selling book, The Magic of Thinking Big. And there's no problem with big thoughts and big dreams and any of those things. But the problem that we come across sometimes is we want the glorious and we want the magnanimous. But what we don't realize is life is made up of a whole lot of small little details. There's some big things in life. Sure there are. There's some big events in life. There's marriages and deaths and surprises and sorrows and all of those things. But you realize for the most part, your Christian life isn't made up of the bombs bursting in air. For the most part, your Christian life is the day by day walk that you have. It's the normal ebb and flow of your life day in and day out. And whether or not you'll be faithful in that and what you do and the time that God gives you in that, that makes all the difference in how you will serve God. Beloved, hear me. Jesus shows something to you and me this evening. Jesus reveals something to you and me this evening. Something that this society is not aware of or seem to overlook. And it's this, that the details and the small things are what are really important in your life. Can you say amen? Small things have big consequences. Small things can change things very quickly. And Jesus teaches us that he that's faithful in the small things, he'll be faithful in the big things as well. Don't believe the small things are important? Ask the student the value of a year after he blows one final exam and has to take the course all over again. Say amen. Ask the man that's only 1 minute late for his plane that just took off, how important is 1 minute? Ask the man who almost hit the car coming next to him, how important that 1 second was. Friends, small things have a huge difference in our life. And I'm just trying to ask us today, I know we need to think big, but don't just think big. Hey, start thinking small. Start thinking real small. Think about the details of our life and how we treat one another and how we treat God on a day-by-day basis. Because at the end of the day, it's the small things that really matter. Now, I've taught enough young students before, and I always enjoy the opportunity to be able to speak to some of our young preachers coming up in our movement, whether it's speaking there over at the Bible school there in Savannah, or Free Gospel, or whatever the doors may open, wherever they may be, here in the United States or overseas. And I love getting down and speaking to some of those young men and hear some of the big glorious dreams that they have for walking with God and working with God. Oh, but beloved, can I don't know if I've ever come across some of them that just shrug their shoulders and say, well, you know, I don't really want to do anything big for God. Most all of them, Brother Greg, I mean, man, they believe God's going to open up some great doors, but then they almost get discouraged and give up whenever they get out of Bible school and realize that they're not preaching camp meetings overnight. And I've got to look back at them and say, I want to remind you, beloved, them men that are up there preaching that, they didn't get there overnight. How did they get there? Because the small things, when nobody else was there, they still gave it their best. They still sought the Lord. They still pressed in with all their hearts. Beloved, if you can be faithful in the small things, the Lord begins to open up the bigger doors. It's not the size. It's the substance. It's how, what you do with what you have that makes all the difference. Somebody said, oh, Brother Estes, did you love preaching in Brazil in 15,000? Oh, that's glorious. But can I tell you, I felt the presence of God preaching in some little church that didn't have 15 pews in it. Literally, and I'm not exaggerating when we say 8 to 9 people, and we still have a move of God, and the presence of God comes down, and lives are changed, and hearts are touched. And I thank God for the open door and the opportunity for that. And I don't walk away saying, man, that's just a small thing. No, sir, I say thank God for the opportunity that the Lord has opened. I'm telling you, beloved, if your eyes are set on nothing but the big and the glorious, you're going to miss the will of God, because He starts with the details, and He starts with the small things. And it says, if you'll be faithful in that which is little, I'll make you faithful in that which is much. We need hearts again and to be content with what the Lord has placed in their laps. Oh, somebody say amen. You say, now, Brother, that's just, I don't do much. You do more than what you realize you do. Nobody notices when I'm not here. Yes, they do. Do you realize that every person dynamically changes how this service flows? Every person that walks in this door has a dynamic effect on how this service flows. Every person on whether or not they get in and worship God has a dynamic effect on whether or not God's going to move or not. Now, some of you dear older saints of God, you can back me up on this. Our younger people, I'm sorry to say, they haven't heard this. But some of you older saints, you remember when they'd say the phrase, Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so, had the key to the service. Remember that? And the Lord would move because one person obeyed God. They may not have a PhD. They may never went to Bible school. They don't know Greek. They don't know Hebrew. But they knew how to be faithful to the Lord. And they responded to the Lord. And it may not have been much, but it was all that they had. And when the Lord simply told them to step out, they stepped out. And they said, I will obey God. And it shook the very rafters of hell. And the power of God began to stir. And the Lord began to move because one person was faithful in that which was small. And the Lord said, I'm going to bless you now with much. Say amen. I remember old Sister Beulah Hudson, precious saint of God. If Sister Hudson ever looked at you and said something to you, and she'd say, the Lord spoke to me and told me to tell you that you write it down. There was people in our church, the Lord, she'd walk up to and she'd, Lord spoke to me. It's going to be a boy. Not y'all. That ain't no yay yay there, okay? I'm just letting you know. That's illustration purposes only. I remember she'd have that little walker. Holy Ghost get moving. I'm this fast as she could go. And she'd walk around that little church on that walker. I never heard her preach a message. I don't think I ever had a message in tongues nor an interpretation. But if old Sister Hudson ever got walking around that church on that little walker, you better get in, get out, or get run over. One of the, come on. Listen, beloved, I'm telling you, it may not be much, but the Lord still notices the small worship. Do I lift my hands? Do I sing with exuberance? Do I put my mind into the service? Now, Brother Estes, that's not much. It's more than what you realize. It's more than what you understand. Choir, can I just talk to you for a second? Do you realize, choir, that when you sing and how you sing, whether you realize it or not, what you're doing is this. You are giving permission for this church to worship God. And to the level that you worship God, I'm giving them permission, because you're saying, hey, you can worship God like this too. And if you stand there when your shoulders slump and a deadpan face on your look on your face, what you're saying to them is, I don't want to worship God, and you probably shouldn't either. But if you lift up holy hands and if you magnify the Lord, what you're saying to them is, you can get in. You can praise Him too. You can bless His name as well. Oh, somebody magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the small things that matter. I heard a story one time. It was an ancient Mideast story. I don't have time to get all of it, but it was summed up like this. I wrote down the final of it. The title of it was, For the Want of a Nail. For the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of a horse, the rider was lost. For the want of a rider, the battle was lost. For the want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. Indeed, the kingdom was lost for the want of a nail. How can one nail mean so much? I mean, if I had one nail, and I'd say, who'd give me $1,000 for that nail? Everybody says, I ain't paying $1,000 for that one nail. What if I were to tell them the whole kingdom depended on that one? Do you understand how it's like a one after another that has an effect? How I worship affects somebody else, and whether or not I don't worship affects somebody else, and whether or not I decide to press in affects somebody else. It's the small things that matter, church. It's the small things that matter. I remember I was going there to the Philippines last October, it was, and I got on that airplane, and here's how it works. You know, I'm flying out of Louisville, and from Louisville, I'm to go to Detroit, and to Detroit, I'm good to go to Tokyo, and then from Tokyo I'm to go down to Manila, and then you got to get a separate flight, because by that time the day's over with, so get a hotel, and then you wake up the next morning and get a separate flight to go up to a Locos Norte. Now you could take a bus, but it's about 12 hours, and with luggage it's dangerous to say the least. And so I get on that plane and I get up to Detroit, and they say, I'm sorry, everything's been changed, you'll be going to South Korea now, and you'll have to get a hotel that night. I said, I can't, I gotta meet a preacher, we got a hotel already. I'm sorry. So we had to cancel that. We come in a day late to the national conference. There's 1,000 people there. I got to get a new hotel. I got to buy new tickets, because the second is not connected to the first. And I got to get a whole new ticket. All of that. Why? Because one person forgot to put a light bulb in the airplane. What? A light bulb? What type of light bulb are we talking about? Reading light? I'll switch seats with you. You can have my seat. Whatever it is, you can have it. Somebody forgot to put a bulb. Or if you're in Mississippi, they'd say a bub. You just believe, I told Erica when we first got married, I said, there are some places down here I will have to interpret for you. Okay? Just trust me. You're not going to understand them. Just stay close. I'll tell you what they meant. Thank you. One man forgets a light bulb. That backs up this. That backs up that. Now I can't go to Tokyo. Now I have to go to South Korea. And it's really fun trying to get back and forth from an airport in a taxi with a guy that doesn't speak English. And you're like, Terminal 2. What's your name? Huh? Not 2. 2. 2. Not all of that. Because somebody wasn't where they needed to be. Don't tell me. The small things don't count. Don't tell me the small things don't count. I can't explain. Maybe I can say this as an evangelist, so a pastor doesn't have to say it. But every now and again, the Lord begins to deal with this heart. And because you're an evangelist, you come in and you don't know. No, he doesn't tell me and I don't tell him. No, we don't do that, you know. But as a pastor, you know, and you know the hurts and you know the pain. And you feel as if the Lord, it just begins to deal with you. And you know, Lord, this is going to help some one person. And then you get there on Sunday and they're not even there. Now, you still preach it the best you can. But in the back of the mind, it just doesn't have that oomph like you wanted to. Because somewhere you're shaking your head saying, Lord, they should have been there. They should have been there. Beloved, the small things make a difference. I'm amazed at the number of young preachers that want microphone ministry. Dun, dun, dun. But not bus ministry. I'm amazed at how they get the limelight anointing. As long as that light's shining on a man, it just gets all over him. But one-on-one, they don't know how to talk to anybody about the Lord. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. Ministry is more than what stands behind this pulpit. Can you say amen? Now, not too many folks know this, so here it goes, okay? I think I maybe told one other church this, so now I'm telling you. Okay, Brother Estes, my first official job, salute, I was proud, you better believe, first official job in church was not some singer, I was not the preacher, I was the church janitor. And you know what I wanted to make sure those restrooms were as clean as they could be. I wanted, if any visitor walked into my church, I wanted them to know two things. We got friendly folks and we got clean bathrooms, say amen. You say, Brother Estes, that ain't a big thing, you better guess again. They make up their mind in the first 10 minutes before they ever hear a song sung, before they ever hear a sermon preached, whether or not they're going to be. I'm just telling somebody, it matters. It matters. If you see a piece of trash on the ground, don't you turn around and say that's somebody else's job. It matters. It's a small thing. It matters. Pick it up. It matters. Pick it. I said it matters. Can you say amen? It's the small things that make for faithfulness and fruitfulness. It's the small things that'll show me a man's future. Small things, beloved, make for fruitfulness. You want to be fruitful for God? Be fruitful in the small things. Do not have a destination disease. One day, someday, over the rainbow, when my ship comes in, that's when I'm going to get serious about serving God. You never will. It'll never happen. You talk to some of them young preachers and they say, okay, well, tell me about your prayer life. Well, you know, Brother, that's just when I graduate, man, I'm going to get serious about this. No, you won't. If you won't do it then, you won't. If you won't do it now, you won't do it then. I remember I was talking to that little girl in that third pew, second over. Man, I mean, I come up there to Ohio. I saw that little blonde hair, blue-eyed girl up there playing that piano. And, man, I felt led of the Spirit. I wanted to talk to her. Back in them days, it was kind of when the earth's crust first hardened. It was a few years ago now, trust me, okay? We didn't have smartphones. But I did have a cell phone. And I knew right up front, if she wouldn't pray with me over the phone before we got married, she wouldn't pray with me after we got married. You say, Brother, that's a small thing. I wanted to know right up front, is she spiritually minded? Is she spiritually minded? It's the small things that make for fruitfulness. Brother, it's just nobody else sees it. It doesn't matter. God sees it. Look at Moses. He's on the backside of a desert. He's been stripped of all of his glory of Egypt. His clothes no longer smell of cedar wood and spices. He doesn't have the dainties of Egypt around him. He doesn't have the luxuries of Egypt around him. He doesn't have anything left. And the Lord said to him, what is that in thine hand? He said,
a rod. And the Lord said, cast it to the ground, on the ground. And he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. In other words, the biting end still in business. And he put forth his hand and he caught it and it became a rod in his hand. But now that rod is known as the rod of God. It wasn't much. You couldn't have bought it for a high value in a store. But the Lord said, if you'll just take that and put it in my hand, I will use it for my glory. Amen. Moses is in that little bulrush as a baby. That small little ark floating back and forth. Huge crocodiles are there. Huge hippopotamus. And not only that, you realize that that was a major business route up and down that Nile River. I've seen the Nile, not up there in Egypt, but down in Sudan, Bor Sudan. And they've got big battleships going up and down that big old barge. Any one of them could have looked and went kerplunk and killed that little bitty raft. But what's that in that small little raft? One day it's going to grow up and destroy every one of them big battleships. It's amazing how God uses the small things. Every year we celebrate it at Christmas time. Bethlehem, the house of bread. What else would it have been known for except for this? God the Son was born in that beautiful little place. What about David's five smooth stones? He's just a little boy. He's not even a man. He's a little boy with a sling, but now God's hand is upon him. Last night before we went to bed, I just laid next to little Shay for a second. I said, Shay, tell me a Bible story. And she began to tell me about David and Goliath. Man, and she's giving me the details of that big old giant and what David did. And she slung that sword like that, hit that giant right there in that head. She's telling me, hallelujah. Thank God that little boy was faithful in the small things to God. Jesus comes by and he sees this little lady, and you know the story. She puts these two little mites into that offering pan, and scholars tell us that's probably less than one penny. And yet Jesus says, this is going to be an illustration. Amen. Over and over again, people are going to remember this. They're going to talk about this. And she gives more. She gives more than the rest of everybody. Wait a second. Don't you know that's impossible? No, that's possible. Because the Lord says, because she gave out of her heart. Listen, she didn't have much. But what she gave all. I'm just reminding somebody. Jesus says this, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. The Lord notices the small things that we do for him. You don't have to be a big shot. My goal as a minister, listen, I don't have to run with the top dogs, whatever that is, whatever your definition, that's not my goal, okay? It's not what I'm looking for. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to be fruitful, Brother Bo. If that means nobody knows our name, fine, okay? That's not what I'm in it for. There's a lot of folks that can take a lot of shortcuts, but man, shortcuts will cut you short in the long run. You'd rather be fruitful in the small things and nobody else know you. Jesus never pastored a mega church. He kind of spoke rather simple if you think about it. He speaks about flowers, speaks about birds, gives illustrations, gives stories. But nobody affected the world like him. Here's a verse you want to write down. Maybe put this in your heart and use it at a later time. Zechariah 4:10. For who hath despised the day of small things? God's not impressed with noise. And he's not impressed with number. He's impressed with fruitful, faithful servants. It shows our fruitfulness. It shows our faithfulness. It's a means of fruitfulness and faithfulness. You realize this. Now listen to me. When God gets ready to try you, most of the time he's not going to try you in a very big thing. Most of the time the testing comes through something rather small. Whew. Have you ever felt the Lord? Now come on now. You ain't got to answer openly, but you do answer honestly. Have you ever felt the Lord prick your heart and say, go back and talk to him? Oh. You ever let the Lord just tap you on your shoulder and say, go do such and such? Lord, that ain't big. I'm not asking you to walk on water. Obey my voice. There's times, and I'm not saying it has to be every time, but there's times I knew it was the Lord. We'd walk out of a restaurant. I remember one time Savannah and me, I said, Savannah, come back with me. And there was a young lady, I guess it was her boyfriend, maybe fiance, whoever it was. And I said, I don't mean to interrupt your dinner. I just like to give you this little track. And they were both so kind. Thank you so much. Brother Estes, what happened? Did she get saved? I don't know. I really don't know. But here's what I know. I felt that holy nudge. And I said, God, I want to be faithful in these small things. I can't tell you that illustrations came out. I can't tell you that there was a story that came out of that. Praise God, she turned around, got saved, and half of the city got saved. I can't tell you any of those things. And you know what? You may not be able to find any of the answers to that. But I am saying this, when the Lord speaks to you, you don't have to look back at Him and say, well, how big of a thing you going to make out of this? That's not what your heart should say. You should say, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, oh God, you can do this. You can do this through me because I'm willing to be a vessel. I'm willing to open up my soul to you, Lord. Whatever you desire. Desire to do it through me, oh Father. If a man would steal $5, I'm telling you, that man would steal $5 million if he could get away with it. It's in his heart. It's in his heart. It's those little things. It's a small thing to feel the Lord prompt you to stay, to pray, to seek the Lord. I remember years ago, hope you don't mind me sharing a little personal life with you. We talked about it today, back to the spring camp. I was a 20-year-old boy. I was in Bible school there at a university in Texas. I say this humbly, my teachers respected me. I respected them. But I knew the Lord put this in my heart. I'm to go to that place. I'm to be at that meeting. And I told all my professors, I respect you greatly, but I must go to this. And whatever consequences you desire to give me, I'm fully aware of that, and I accept that. If I have to fail, test, course, whatever it may be, I respect your decision. Every one of them, Brother Greg, looked back at me, and they said, you have my permission to go. I trust you, Zane. I said, well, thank you, sirs. And I go to that meeting, and I'm just a boy there. And I remember everybody else had left on that Friday night. And they're all in that fellowship hall eating, and I'm just pacing back and forth, crying, pleading with God. It was from that a man come up to me, and he began to speak to me. He said, have you ever been to the School of Christ? I said, never been there. He said, well, you need to go. Long story. It was from there that I found myself in Ljungskile, Sweden. It was there that I went through that thing. It was there that I'd seen a discipline that as a 20-year-old boy I never had before. I'm just saying, those small little nudges can make such a difference. I'm on a plane and I'm next to a Chinese man. His name's Ja, which means nice. And I show him pictures of my family, and he shows me pictures of his family. And he says, where are you from? I'm not making this up. I said, Kentucky. He looks back at me, he goes, fried chicken. That's exactly what he said. He said, you got it, KFC, that's us. I'm not related to the man, but I just feel a little bit of dignity just knowing I'm from Kentucky, you know. I don't have time to get into it, but it was a brilliant marketing strategy by KFC. In Japan and some parts of China, Christmas is synonymous with KFC. Christmas dinner is go get KFC. How they did that through commercials, I don't know, but they reverence KFC, okay? He showed me pictures of his boy, and he's like, yeah, and I'm like, yeah, y'all eat some KFC. I can see that. And at the end of that service, at the end of that airplane, rather, because I mean, he looks at me, of course, I mean, I'm dressed suit and tie like I would be here. And he says, what do you do? I said, I'm a minister. He goes, oh, ambassador. I said, no, I'm not an ambassador. Dignitary? I said, no, not dignitary. What are you? I said, preacher. He said, oh, I've heard of you people. I gave him a Bible. I had an extra Bible with me. And I signed on the back of it, to my dear friend, Ja, from your friend, Zane. And I handed him that Bible. I mean, he'd have thought it was a firstborn child. He held on to that Bible. And he said over and over again, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I shook his hand. I, I got on my plane and I started going to Croatia. And maybe 30 minutes into that airplane, I'm sitting there reading a book, and all of a sudden it hits me. I think I just got a Bible smuggled into China. I'm pretty sure that just happened. I'm pretty sure I just sat next to a man that's going to bring a Bible back into that land. Friend, hear me. All, you don't know what may happen if you'll just do something that the Lord has done. I could go on, and I'm not trying to waste your time with stories and illustrations, but if I could just drive this home into your heart, I don't know what the Lord may speak to you about this week. I don't know how the Lord may deal with you. I don't know what the Lord may do, but all I'm asking you is, would you be faithful to that still and small voice? Because you don't ever know what your obedience may have in all of eternity. Come back from Ecuador. I've been over there for a building trip, and their word for leader is maestro. Maestro. Now that's, yes, that means leader in the Mexican Spanish, but it's kind of more of a musician than it is leader. That's how they would use that word. Well, I mean, every other word is maestro. Me the maestro. Okay. So, I mean, that's just kind of the going word. I come back, and there's this little 13-year-old kid there. He's a Hispanic boy. And I just walk up to him and I smack him on the shoulder and I said, "Hey there, maestro." Didn't think a thing of it. Well, I come back about 6-7 years later to that church, and here's this 19-year-old boy, same boy, and man, he's up there on that piano. And I mean, he is playing that piano. He's good. I see him after service. And I said, "Man, when did you learn to play that piano?" He looks back at me and he says, "Brother Zane, you don't remember?" I said, "Remember what?" He said, years ago, I saw you at church, and I told my dad that morning. I said, "Dad, I really want to start learning to play piano, but I don't think I can." And then you saw me at church that night, and he said, and you hit me on my arm, and you said, "Hey there, musician." And he said, I looked at my dad, and my dad looked down at me, and my dad said, "Well, if Brother Zane said you can be a musician, I think you can." Let me tell you something, friend. God didn't wake me up at 3:00 in the morning and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Nothing. I didn't see an angel, and I didn't hear angel wings. All I know, it was just a small little word of encouragement. It was just a small little, you don't know whose life you may change when you walk through those doors, and rather than dragging your knuckles complaining about everybody that done you wrong, walk in here with a shout of praise and a voice of victory and let somebody else know that God's alive and well. It may just change their life. It may just change the way this community goes. Can somebody give God a hand clap of praise in this house? Hallelujah. He that is faithful in the few shall be faithful in much. I'm closing. It shows our fruitfulness. It shows our faithfulness. It shows our future. He's not faithful in the small things, he'll never be faithful in the big things. It was Mr. Robert G. Lee. He was a pastor of a church there in Memphis, Tennessee. And had a sermon one time. It was a rather famous sermon. It was entitled "Chasing Fleas." It was taken from whenever Saul was hunting for David, and David says to him in 1 Samuel 24 in verse 14, this is the scripture, it reads, "After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea?" And the thesis of his message was simply this. Dr. Lee said this, "A king who had a crown, a scepter, a throne, and an army at his command, doing what? Chasing fleas. Wasting great energies on nothingness. Despising great opportunities. Dishonoring himself with cheap littleness. A king," he said, "shooting a cannon at a sparrow. Charging an anthill drawn with swords. Fishing for minnows with an anchor hook. And his purpose was to warn about becoming slaves to the little time-wasting nothings of life. It's in those small times. You can waste it." Somebody said something about me online. Well, I'm going to go back. You can waste your life trying to respond to everybody that doesn't like you. And you'll chase fleas. You'll chase fleas. I wrote this down. There was a group of whales that were beached on the shore of California. They all died. There was an environmental group there, and there was a reporter, and the question was asked, how did all these great whales die? The response was this: those whales were chasing minnows. The San Diego newspaper, the headline the next day, reported back this: giants perish chasing minnows. Are the details and small things that should be used for God being used for nothingness? Are you chasing minnows? Or are you following God? It's the small things that'll tell. Sister Estes, can you help me tonight? Before David ever slays Goliath, there's bears, there's lions. Not giants, but he's working his way up to those giants. Before Elijah ever does twice the miracles of Elijah, he's washing the hands of the man of God. Timothy, at one time, is Paul's understudy. He becomes Paul's successor. Here's what's great about people that do small things well. Their future has big things in store. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Therein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Did you catch that? Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Doesn't start out with much. It just starts out with a little fruit. Then it's purged, cut back. Ouch. Why does he do that? Because he looks, he says, oh, you got some dead branches here. You got some do-nothing moments in your life here. Woo, got a few huge time wasters here. Yeah, I need to get that out of your life because I want to bring you much fruit. Much fruit. Much fruit. You can start any time you like. I was there in Ukraine, the Western Carpathia region. Brother Harvey Moore and myself, we were traveling and looking at villages, and they'd said never Americans had ever been here before, and that was the place that I got to see that 88-year-old woman that had never heard the gospel before, and we got to present her the gospel, and an 88-year-old woman gives her heart to God that morning. It was amazing. I'll never forget. She took her little hand and she did her chest like this. And she said, he's here. He's here. I know he's here. I know he's here. I'll never let him go. I'm sorry that wasn't the ninth speaker at the camp meeting, but I would never trade moments like that for anything. And I'm not throwing off on our meetings. I'm for him. You understand. I remember we went through one place, and here was a man. He's a young man, and his wife. You'd never seen a more happy little couple. And I'm looking around, and I said, wow, here's a young couple, and there's really nothing out here. There's no stores, no hospitals, no schools, dirt roads. But oh, what joy they had. We spoke to him a little bit, just wanted to encourage him in the Lord, and we appreciated seeing him so much. And then someone told me, they were in that group, and we all began to speak, and they told me afterwards, they said, that young man, his sister is one of the wealthiest Ukrainian women to ever live. She was known, renowned for her beauty. She married an English lord, royalty, nobility. She wants for nothing. But in all of her things, they said she's one of the most miserable, depressed people to ever live. all of her big parties, all of her big friends, all of her big homes. And a brother and a sister out of the same family. One went for the shiny bigness of life and found nothing. And one found peace that passed all understanding in his small little station, being fruitful and faithful to God. Oh, it's the small things, Pastor. That's where the joy is. That's where the peace is. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight and our hearts open in this house. I don't know the details of your life. I haven't walked with you through 12 hours of day. I don't know how your day is ordered. But I believe every last one of us in this house could say, oh God, let me not waste my life chasing fleas. Let me use all that I can and however that I can, however it be. Let me use it for your glory. Father, I'm asking you to deal with us tonight. I'm asking you, God, to put a sensitivity back into our own hearts. For, Lord, we are concerned about the details. Lord God, we're concerned about the small ways in which we interact with others. Lord, it's the waiter, it's the waitress that in no way could ever repay us for our kind gesture to them. It's for the people, God, that nobody else knows. And you still want us to reach out to. And when man doesn't see it, God, we rejoice in this, knowing it was not for them. It was for you, Lord. When you've done it unto the least one of mine brethren, you've done it unto me. Church, I believe it'd be good if every last one of us, all the way from the back to the front, if we would be willing to step out from where we're sitting this evening and come make an altar around this front of this church and ask the Lord to help us tonight with our everyday in and out, how we spend it, what we do, the small details that truly matter to God. Can we come and seek Him? Lord, I love you, but God, let me love you better. I serve you, Lord, but Jesus, I'm asking you tonight, God, for me, let me serve you better. I walk with you, Lord, I do, but please, God, let me walk with you better. Oh, God, refine me, refresh me, renew me. God, search my heart tonight.